This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Confirmed this morning, the CEO of the Ford Motor Company is out. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When Mark Fields took over as CEO of Ford in the middle of 2014, Ford stock was $17.32. On Friday, it was under $11 a share, a drop of 37%. There's news today that Fields is leaving, retiring, as part of a wider shakeup at the car company. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
Mark Fields was looking to the future. As CEO, he invested billions in new technology, like self-driving cars. But investors said he wasn't paying enough attention to Ford's core business in the present, selling trucks and SUVs. Dave Sullivan is an analyst at Auto Pacific.
Let's not beat around the bush here. The F-Series is what keeps the company going, the pickup trucks.
He says Ford sells more than 70,000 of those a month. Ford's new CEO, Jim Hackett, used to lead the company's self-driving car unit. He's also credited with turning around an office furniture company called Steelcase, where he was CEO for two decades. Brian Moody from Auto Trader says Hackett's challenge will be balancing the new with the old.
We're still headed toward a place where people might not own cars, or if they do, they share them. So it has to be a combination of both.
That means selling more pickups and developing a self-driving car. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
In an announcement that coincided with President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia this week, the Saudi government's investment fund is saying it's going to let some foreign money managers decide how to invest $65 billion of the kingdom's money. This is called the Public Investment Fund, the PIF. $45 billion will go to a technology investment vehicle run by Japan's SoftBank. $20 billion will go to the Blackstone Group of New York to invest in U.S. infrastructure improvements. This is driven by moves by the Saudis to diversify their economy away from the focus on fossil fuel. And now an update on cereal. Oh, come on. Who doesn't like cereal for breakfast? Cereal maker General Mills now has a promotion where it's giving away 10,000 boxes of Lucky Charms filled only with the sugary marshmallow bits, none of the grain-derived beige bits. There's a nutrition angle here, and it's a sign of the lengths that manufacturers will go in a cereal market that is ultra-competitive, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
This is the sound of breakfast at my house. My teenage daughter's banana almond milk smoothie. And like ever more Americans, there's not a single bowl of this on the table.
Breakfast cereals have become a dinosaur. They haven't kept up with consumer needs.
Phil Lempert at the supermarketguru.com says cereal's been losing market share to foods billed as healthier, lower carb, gluten-free. And also, says David Portalotin at the NPD Group, to things we can eat on the go.
The breakfast sandwich has been one of the fastest increasing foods in our overall diet in this country.
Cereal sales have fallen 3% a year since 2012. Kellogg and General Mills are responding with more whole grains and natural ingredients. And, of course, sugar-coated marketing ploys like those Lucky Charms marshmallows. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Texas, that oil and gas center, also produces three times more wind energy than its closest rival, California. Developers are now buying up land rights to build even more wind farms, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
I met a man in Comanche County who wears two hats. He's a cattle rancher and a wind farmer.
How you doing?
John?
John Dudley.
Hey, really nice to meet you. Andy Euler.
Make yourself at home out here. I'll be with you in just a few.
We met on his 20,000 acres in the Texas Hill Country. It holds more than half of the 87 turbines that make up the vast Logan's Gap wind farm. His brown bulls roam among the giant stalks of the turbines as they spin up to 40 stories overhead.
Yeah, we put up some turbines. That changes the way the hilltops look, but we think that probably will be very instrumental in allowing us to continue to own our family lands.
He says ranching has been tough, with fewer subsidies and higher property taxes. Unlike some of his neighbors, he has no prospects under the ground.
Our land had no oil and gas production, no oil and gas lease money, and frankly, it's a little tight.
Wind power has been a saving grace, but if you were to fly over Dudley's ranch, you'd see a line where the wind turbines stop at the end of his property. The wind speed averages up to 12 miles per hour throughout Comanche County. So what makes Dudley's land better than anybody else's? Shannon Farrell studies agricultural economics at Oklahoma State University. He breaks it down like this. The power you can derive from the wind is a cube of the wind's speed. So
if I go from a 5-mile-per-hour wind velocity to a 10-mile-per-hour wind velocity, that's twice the speed, but it's not twice the energy. It's 8 times as much energy.
A little more wind can mean a lot more energy. And just like there are geological maps of all the oil and gas under the ground in Texas, there are now maps of potential wind power. There's another deciding factor, contracts. James Decker is a real estate lawyer in the area.
The company's position is the fewer the landowners they have to deal with, the better. Because the more people you have to deal with, the higher the odds are you're going to get somebody, somebody's going to say no.
He says big landowners are at a definite advantage, but many of them here still wonder if wind power is really viable. They don't want a bunch of turbines left on their property if a wind power company goes belly up. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And over the weekend, the last ever Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey circus performance. It played out on New York's Long Island. After 146 years, Ringling Brothers is done amid slumping ticket sales. You know what'll live on? P.T. Barnum's overquoted line about not caring about what the media say as long as they spell my name right. B-R-A-N-C-A-C. Oh, you don't care. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.